At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I am your host, Alex Christine, and I have a super exciting story to share with you guys about a recent thing that happened that kind of plays off of the last episode and interestingly and wonderfully kind of segues into this episode. So I'll tell the story. So if you remember from the last episode, I talked a little bit about my music and kind of being in a place of uncertainty and not knowing really what God's up to necessarily, but knowing I've been called and to use those gifts and to continue using the gifts that God has given me, but that I was at kind of like a stopping place somewhat, like not to where I was just waiting for something to magically happen, but to get further confirmation from God and really be sure that's where I'm supposed to be or if I'm heading in the right direction. And long story short, after that episode, I mentioned, you know, I've not seen much from my music and whatnot, but I think a week or two after I posted that video, I, through my wonderful sister who has so many connections, she's a lot more social than me, and that is to the glory of God, because she was able to set me up with someone who hosts a radio locally, like a radio show. So they actually reached out to me and asked me to be on their show. So I got to do a radio interview. It was my very first one. And when I tell you, I have to be honest, I wanted to have many alarms set by 6:15 because I had to be there by 8 a.m. I'm not much of a morning person, but I was like, you know, that I want to be diligent. I want to do this to the glory of God. And so, and be faithful and be obedient. I knew this was something that was just too kind of miraculous for me to not see that that's what it was. So, I have my alarm set. So I think. And I did not wake up until about 7:30. Thankfully, I live within 5 minutes of the studio, or the station. So I was able to somehow maneuver and with the help of others get there on time, right at 8. And I just felt the power and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in that place. It was just people speaking Jesus and just living out a life of grace and mercy towards others. You know, where it could have been that I was right on time, you know, someone could definitely see that as disrespectful and be like, well, we had you scheduled, you gotta go. So I think it's really, you know, whenever it's God's plan, there's nothing that will get in the way of it. It's just a constant reminder, and well, he rewards those who diligently seek him and want to do his will. And I obviously want to do his will, and if I was feeling called to that, but I was obviously trying to then adhere or listen and hear and be obedient to that. But again, things can go wrong, and despite all of that, God still made a way. So I just wanted to say thank you. And if you want to listen to the interview or the song, the cover I sang, the link will be in the bio, most likely. But that's not a pressure to watch or listen to it. That's just if you're interested and want to hear it. It was all to be to the glory of God. And you can tell in there that I'm pretty nervous. Maybe you can't, but I could tell. So yeah, it's okay though. I am beyond grateful for the opportunity, and it has opened the doors already for so many other opportunities. So I'm praying that God keeps me faithful in my obedience to him during this season, because it has been a long prayer for a while now for me to feel the confidence of God, not just when I'm alone with him, like one-on-one, but also when I leave my apartment, when I'm out of my little sanctuary, if you will, or my prayer closet. It just feels so safe, and it's like, I just want to stay in there, but I need to be growing in being able to like leave the house and know that God is still with me. And it's like I do, but it's a heart mind thing. And it's like even in my heart I could know, but do I know? Because I want to experience that presence. I want to experience his presence. I don't want to be so easily misled and honestly discouraged, like so easily misled and discouraged by others. Because I tend to I am strongly affected by the way people see me, and especially when one is in Christ, I can sometimes take things out of, you know, I say this in the interview, but whether it's stemming from my traumas or my own insecurities of, you know, feeling like I'm constantly disliked, and if that's the case, that's okay too. The Bible also says that not everyone's going to love us, so that's okay. But I think when it comes from other Christians, I begin to start to really, really self-doubt. And so I'm just praying that I would, by the grace of God, for his glory and the furtherance of his kingdom, be able to get out a little bit more in this upcoming season and really find a true godly community that walks in grace, not because they know about it, but because they've experienced it. And those are the type of people that I just really would love to build a community with in this upcoming season, because loneliness is really real. It's really, really, really real. Okay, let's get into this, guys. I'm so sorry. So yeah, I wonder sometimes what it means to truly obey God, since we know that Christ is the perfect example of obedience. He is the only one who could fulfill the law and the prophets. He did. Yeah, so whenever I read like stuff about obedience in my Bible studies, I tend to get a little bit not tripped up, because I have like, you know, we have like a worldly understanding, and then there's the true understanding, like the spiritual understanding. And being led by the Holy Spirit when reading this, because if not, then I'm not going to get anything anyway. So that's also a prayer that the Holy Spirit stays in me, stays moving, super active, but you know, it is God's will and I am surrendered to that regardless of, even if that means I'm going to be a little confused right now. So, yeah, but yeah, I'm like, what is obedience to God? Is that like a rule following system? Is it, you know, is it like doing stuff, like constantly checklist mentality? Like I have to do this, 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 and this today. And if I don't, then God doesn't love me. And I'm here to argue and probably hopefully comfort some of you that no, it's not that. So let us just dive in to explore what true obedience to God looks like. Okay, so basically in this episode we're going to be seeing that obedience is not just a checklist, but it is founded in a relationship with God that transforms our hearts, minds, and lives. And I would also add that, you know, some of us, I think when we're doing this checklist mentality, it's almost like we don't think God knows that that's what we're doing. Maybe we don't even know what we're doing. And there's so much grace for that, truly. Like, well, I say truly, there's so much grace for that. But to admit it or to know it and let it come to mind or to feel that conviction is a different story. Okay, I lost my place. I have no idea what I was talking about or where I was at. So I'm going to just go on to the next little segment here. I wanted to add to that with obedience that like whether or not we know or but if we're aware of it, then it's even more of okay, here let me redo this. Okay. So I feel like the checklist mentality sometimes though, when we're wrapped up in it, it's like we almost don't feel like God knows that that's what we're doing, that it's like we're trying to earn our love. But, you know, we can't put on a show for God. Like he's not easily entertained, and if he were, he created the show. So, you know, it's just, I've struggled with this a lot because, as I said, growing up, I was really obedient. Like, I was just obedient to my parents. I wanted to be. There was nothing in me that did not want to please my parents. And I realized as I got older then that that would mean obedience to God as I grew in my faith. And I remembered actually during really, like, the times of abuse and, like, healing and stuff immediately after that and just pouring my heart out to God. And my, okay. I think one of the scariest prayers in obedience is, or and surrender. I think truly obedience to God can't really exist, or that the foundation of it has to be submission and trust in his will and his sovereignty and surrendering to his will. Obedience is central to, oh yeah. So then with parents and stuff though, We start to learn the way. Oh, yeah. So I had prayed during that time that, well, not really. Yes, it is a prayer, but it was more of like a repentance, I guess. Repentance. Because I was like, I have let these people use and abuse me for so long. I've let a certain type of person, just in different bodies, control me and take my eyes off of you, God. And I pray from now on, and I lay it down, that I would be used by you, that you would be in control of my life, that I fully surrender. And again, those prayers of like, when you really love somebody or love something or whatever, and praying for God to take that away, I think that is a powerful prayer. Praying for God to take it away if it is not according to his will. I just think that's a super powerful prayer, because sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. You know, Jesus prayed that his cup would be taken from him, but he said, not mine, but your will be done, Lord. So sometimes we get the answer we want, and then sometimes there's going to be suffering, but if what we want is actually rooted in being obedient to God and keeping our eyes on Christ, then I feel like that's kind of all, well, yeah. I don't know why my mind is working this way, guys. I feel like I have COVID or something. COVID brain. All right, so let's just get into some scripture and let's see how obedience is actually tied to love, faith, and trust in God. So the Hebrew word, So the Hebrew word for obedience, which is important contextually, is shema, which means to hear or to listen attentively with the intention to obey. And we can see this in Deuteronomy 6:4. Then I also remember then that, you know, that God says, write these laws on your doorposts. When he's talking about the law of Moses after the law was given, it's write these laws on your doorposts, you know, on your, everywhere in your house. And I think that would remind, in purpose to remind us of being obedient to him and just keeping his presence in our homes. So what's interesting, though, whenever I read that now from after knowing the New Testament, knowing the gospel, to see that how hard it is to sometimes like really look at all the ways we fall short. And, you know, like with the law being all over your house and written on your walls and your doorposts and everything, that would be very hard to see, especially if you don't feel like you can obey them all, because Jesus was the perfect example of obedience to God. He's the only one who could do that. So when I go back and I read stuff about like obedience and stuff to the law or to God, really that's kind of shining a light on the New Testament, where the law is about much more. It is made to show us what our sins were and are. And thank God we live in the time that we do, because we have his word and we can see then that Jesus is the perfect one who can fulfill all of those rules that we would never get right. And a life of striving is striving for a love that he has already freely given. I think takes away from, though it is good to diligently seek him, I do also think sometimes when we're functioning out of like a, if I do this, he's going to love me more. No, it's like he's empowered me to do this for his glory. I want to follow. So yeah. And then there's the Greek word. I don't even want to try to pronounce it. So I'm going to spell it. It's H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. And it means to hear under or to submit to authority. And we see that in Romans 6:16 and lots of other places. Obedience is also seen as a response to God's word. So James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So in that we see that obedience is an active response towards God's revealed will, not just passive hearing. So this kind of reminds me of when Jesus is talking to the crowds, like after he's kind of told some of the parables, like the parable of the sower, because the disciples came to him after that. And, you know, some of these can be a little bit confusing, but then that's why it's reassuring when the Gospels, or when the disciples, that's why it's reassuring when the disciples also, you know, ask questions, or they're like, we don't understand this either. So, yeah, I'm going to read Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. So this is, again, after Jesus had taught on the parable of the sower, I believe. Yeah, in Matthew 13, Jesus preaches through, or teaches several parables. So, yeah. But, Matthew 13, starting at verse 10, says, "His disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?' He replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." So, I absolutely love that. The seeing but not perceiving, hearing but not understanding. I love that so much, because we often, myself included, tend to get into a type of, I don't want to say self-righteousness, but maybe, yeah, sometimes where it's like we think we know everything or something and aren't really open to new or like different types of understanding. So like, okay, like perception, okay? Once we realize that the way we see the world, the way we view the world, how we perceive the world is not the same way everyone else perceives the world, I think that can give us a lot of compassion for one another. So yeah, and then John 14 verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So then obedience is tied to love for God and is an expression of our relationship with him. But we also need to keep in mind that love is from God, that no one can love because no one could love without God loving them first. We love because God loved us first. We could not do that on our own. So a heart of obedience, what would a heart of obedience look like then? Kind of talked about the intellectual aspects, the spiritual aspects, and other things. So what would then a heart of obedience look like? 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 says, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Again, obedience is more valuable than ritual or religious acts and stuff, because people thought that they could do their way into heaven rather than having a heart that actually delights in him and wants to do his will and wants to know him and love him. So we see God showing us through the entirety of the Old Testament that the law actually points us to Jesus, who is our righteousness. And that's something that we could never do perfectly or at all unless by his strength. So, yeah, then Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." So again, we see true obedience comes from a heart that delights in God's will. God wrote the law in David's heart, not David. So he loves God because God loves him. It gets me so excited. Excited and nervous quite a bit, but wait, why would that make me nervous? I'm not so sure. I think it's just because the word of God is sacred, and I want to do my absolute best at doing these studies. I don't want to guide or lead, but that, I think, inevitably is kind of what happens sometimes, and that's quite a bit of pressure because I can't be perfect. I can't say everything correctly. I'm not able to do that, but God is. So if, again, that's, I think, where Jesus says, like, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because it's like, you're hearing to understand what the person is saying, not to respond. We listen to hear, not... I notice that so much in our interpersonal relationships. Like, sometimes when I'm listening to people, I'll catch myself thinking like, okay, this, they said these things, I have to address this, you know, and you're listening to respond, not really listening to hear and understand. And I think, yeah, that can be especially dangerous when we try to do that with God. So obedience is not just about external actions, but about the heart. So there's an importance of our inner transformation in discussing our obedience to God and to be able to be obedient to God. So the Pharisees, there's a story in the Bible where the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to trap Jesus, or they're seeing why his disciples don't follow certain hand washing rituals, to which Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20 shows how Jesus, or in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. In that text, Jesus explains that obedience isn't just about external righteousness, but it's about a heart that aligns with God's will. So he says, I'm starting at verse 17. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Then, to preface that, that was actually Jesus' response to Peter asking what the parable means. And Jesus then says, like, are you still without understanding? And explains that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, then out the body. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And you heard the rest. So then Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 says, I think I need more coffee. Sorry. So Romans 12 verses 1 through 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So true obedience then involves the renewing of the mind and the heart, not just white knuckle discipline, outward actions. So then how does God renew our hearts? The Bible tells us from one degree of glory to the next. He is renewing us, all of our being, from one degree of glory to the next. This should cultivate so much patience in all of us, especially within the community of faith, to learn how to be a little bit more gentle with people who maybe had a rougher background than one who grew up in church and hasn't really experienced much hardship or whatever. And that's great. Awesome. I'm glad. I never would pray bad experiences upon anyone. However, I also believe that experiencing hardship and suffering grows us more in our faith and makes us stronger in our faith. And I think that that can teach us a lot about grace, true grace and mercy. And once we've received that, it's like we literally can't not give it to others. So that is something that I pray about often, is that even that I would be more gracious to those who have not struggled and who are in the community of faith and who are in Christ. Because Christ Jesus is our Lord, despite all of our differences. Past, backgrounds, present, time, future, they're all going to be very different. And yes, that can cause conflict in itself, or we can learn how to cultivate learn how to listen and obey and hear, adhere to what God is saying to us in that. Yeah. Anyway. So there's obedience and faith. One of my favorite verses again. I think I said this in the last one, actually. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." So his obedience, Abraham's obedience, came from trusting in God's promises, even without understanding the full picture. So he also, you know, he had received the child of inheritance, Isaac, and then by faith went to sacrifice Isaac, but God stopped him before, and this was counted to him as righteousness. Genesis 26 verse 5 says, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And I want to stop there. He was considered righteous. Abraham was considered righteous because he'd obeyed. The Lord was saying, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." What's interesting is during that time, the law had not yet been given. So this again goes to show that they were living by the law that was written on their hearts during that time. Like, Abraham was living by the law that had been written on his heart by God. So that's where the obedience came into play, because again, the law was made to show us how sinful we are, not to show us that we would ever be able to white knuckle discipline accomplish that on our own, or again, at all, if not by, not through the strength of Jesus Christ, and whom is also the perfect example of obedience, and right, he is our righteousness. So then there's obedience and love. John 15 verses 10 through 11 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So obedience is not burdensome when it's motivated by a love for God. It actually leads to true joy and fellowship with him. It's like even this thing Sunday, you know, I was genuinely excited about it. I mean, of course, whenever I walked in, I got really nervous, but hey, you can't have courage if you don't first have fear. So, but that was God. That was all God in me. That was not even, you know, I would have probably panicked and shut down or something had it not been God working in me, the Holy Spirit leading me and moving me and just, yeah. So, and it really did. It led to me going there, led to at the radio station this last weekend. As I said earlier, it felt like there was true, genuine fellowship. Like, I felt like I was at church, and it was just a small gathering. There was just four of us in a room, but it felt like I was in church just then. So, yeah. I would also like to, at some point, incorporate the meaning of joy in the Bible, or if not incorporate, probably do a whole episode on it, because in the Bible, joy is a lasting emotion of contentment, hope, and confidence that comes from trusting in God. And it is a key theme in the Bible and a natural part of the Christian faith. But notice this says contentment, hope, and confidence, because I feel like I hear joy and I immediately think, okay, the worldly version, happy, which is entirely based upon circumstances. Therefore, that can't be. That can't be, because God doesn't work like that. He doesn't want us to have some temporary happiness that will come and go. His joy is one that remains. So, yes. Then I guess I can give some examples of obedience in scripture. Obviously, I've went over this one many times. Abraham's obedience in Genesis and Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. God called Abraham to leave his homeland without knowing the full plan. Abraham obeyed in faith, and his obedience led to the promise of being the father of many nations. See that in Genesis 17, verses 4 through 5. Then Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18, this is Abraham's ultimate test of obedience, being willing to sacrifice Isaac. So he receives this child of promise and then is tested to sacrifice him. And so it's like, I mean, I would be wondering, you know, okay, well, I'm this old now already. This was my child of promise. I don't know what the father of many nations would mean then, you know, but he still did it. he didn't question that. The Bible doesn't say that he said that. Like, it just, he went. And actually, don't take that my word for that, because that could be embedded in somewhere in the scripture that I did not see or perceive or hear or understand at the time of reading it. And that's what's also cool about the Bible, side note, is every single time I read it, and like when we're engaged in scripture, isn't it so cool how each time, based upon the circumstances and the, you know, the season that we're in, how God can reveal different things in scripture to us. And it's like an aha moment. And I love those and often wish that they occurred more than they do. But I am beyond grateful for the ones that he gives me. So yeah, but as Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, right before he does it, God stops him. So God stops Abraham at the last moment. Abraham's obedience was counted as righteousness. And we see that in the New Testament in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Then there's Noah's obedience. Oh my, yeah. Like seeing the movie Evan Almighty will give you a little bit of a modern day, I guess, visual understanding of what that would have looked like. But Noah, yeah, sure, I'll leave that there. So my audio stopped out of nowhere. So, yeah. So then, Noah's obedience. God instructed in Genesis 6, 13 through 22, God instructed Noah to build an ark in the face of societal mockery and a seemingly illogical command. His obedience, however, preserved the human race. I'm sure all of you know that story, but then Moses' obedience in Exodus 3, verse 10 through 12. Moses was called to confront Pharaoh and lead Israel out of Egypt. Despite his hesitations and self-doubt, he obeyed and saw God's power displayed in the Exodus. I love that. You know, I love that Moses was humble enough to see that he did not possess the qualities of being able to perform this act of obedience until he realizes, and through struggle and through doubt, that God is with him. He continues to see God working around him and performing miracles, and like, you know, turning the staff into the snake and parting the Red Sea and the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, or vice versa. I think I got it right the first time, actually. But yeah, he's like, I'm not a literate man. Like, I'm unable to speak. I can't do this. And he's actually pretty like good for the job, though, because he is Hebrew, but was raised as royalty, like with Pharaoh's, in the household of Pharaoh. So that actually puts him at, you know, more of that. But God isn't going to say that. God just says, basically, like, shh, I will be your mouthpiece. I will be with you. I will go before you. I will be with you. And it will be my words that speak. And that is, I love that, because so often I find myself trying to rely on my own confidence to do something. And 99% of the time, it was just like with the interview I was over this last weekend. I was like, God, I cannot even prepare for this. Meaning preparing for potential questions and what I would answer, because then it's not as authentic or true. So I'm like, I just pray, God, that you would be my mouthpiece, that you would work through me and in me and be with me this entire time. And anyone who had heard it said great things, and I'm so incredibly thankful for your encouragement. I really, really, really appreciate anyone and everyone who has encouraged me along this way, because like I do this in wanting to encourage others too, because I mean, I wish I could be more specific, but I because I've kind of put myself out here, and it's not been easy at all. Again, can't have courage if you don't have fear, but if there was not first fear, and sometimes I'm doing it while I'm afraid. So that's most of the time. But yeah, I want to be that type of encouragement and like help encourage other people like that too. Encourage them in Christ. And, you know, obviously that encouragement is a gift that would come from Christ alone, that I would be able to uplift others. That is a very big hope of mine. So yeah, then finally we have Jesus's obedience. So Luke 22, verse 42, highlights Jesus' prayer in the garden before his arrest, and it shows the depth of his obedience when he says, not my will, but yours be done. Talking to God, his Father. Our Father. And then we have Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient unto the point of death, even death on a cross. So therefore, Jesus is the ultimate model of obedience, even in the face of immense personal cost. That reminded me of another verse that says, rarely will one even die for a righteous man. And Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinful. He's so good. So then there are the blessings and rewards of obedience. And, you know, that could have been me publishing that podcast a few weeks ago that I really didn't want to publish in the first place. And with that, I talked about, in a vulnerable state, my music. And then I have this incredible blessing of being able to spend time with people who are strongly devoted to God and Jesus and are strong in their faith, and have like fellowship with them for a little bit on a Sunday morning. It was the most beautiful thing ever. That was such a blessing. And it felt like a reward just to be there. not even what was being done, just the fellowship in Christ. It's like, it was awesome. So yeah, obedience leads to God's blessing. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14 shows some of the blessings of obedience to God's commands, which would include prosperity, peace, and protection. And I'm also going to note that prosperity probably doesn't mean what, might not mean what you think it means here. I'll just say it like that. So, John 14, verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Sometimes the way things are written confuses, just like the way the words are. I don't know if I've developed reading problems or something. But yeah, no, John 14, verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So obedience then brings us into a deeper relationship with Jesus and opens the door to God's blessings. Obedience also brings spiritual growth. Romans 6, verses 16 through 19 show that obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification and spiritual fruit. So when we obey God, we grow in holiness and become more like Christ. We see also that obedience brings spiritual growth. Romans 6, verses 16 through 19 show how obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification and spiritual fruit. So when we obey God, we grow in holiness and become more like Christ. And I would also say again that this is hearing, this is surrendering, this is listening to what God is saying, not what we're trying to tell ourselves. Or, you know, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. But if we commit ourselves and commit our works to the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart, the scripture says. And that might be a promise in scripture that might really uplift some of you right now. And I hope it does. So then there's obedience results in peace. So Isaiah 48 verse 18 says, oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. So, while the context of that is heavy, God's steadfast love and commitment to his people never ends. His mercies are new every morning. But we can still see within that, that obedience brings inner peace and harmony with God. Like, that's what God is saying through that. So then there's, how can we overcome obstacles to obedience? And what even are those? I think there is dealing with fear and doubt. There is the temptation to disobey or rebel. There's delayed obedience. And yeah, I guess we're just gonna focus in on those right now. So in Exodus 4 verses 10 through 12, we see that Moses struggled with this fear of inadequacy, but God promised to be with him. And yeah, so again, he felt like he wasn't literate enough. And Paul says the same thing in the New Testament, so that's kind of cool. Well, not really cool, but just, I get excited to see things in scripture that, like, it's like, oh wow, that's here and here. and here, then Jesus is all over the place, and I'm like, what? So I get a little bit excited, but I'm never trying to be insincere whatsoever, so I need to work on that. But I also get excited about the Word of God, so I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so we have, then there's 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, which says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." I want to say that I have cried my eyes out for hours and days repeating that verse over and over to myself. I'm like, say that you have given me not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind and self-control. I think others might say, other versions might say a sound mind, but yeah. So that can be really hard, especially again, like I said, when I was so anxious and fearful about my own ability, instead of leaning into, I know God will be with me in this, instead of leaning into Him, I was focusing on my lack when I should have been focusing on His good, like His vastness and all that He can do and everything He can accomplish. He can work miracles. It's, you know, but again, being in submission to His will is like one of the only ways to like access that, I think. So yeah. Yeah. So then we see then in that, in the verse from 2 Timothy, that trusting in God's strength overcomes our fears and enables obedience. So maybe that is what I was saying earlier. Maybe that is what I was just saying about like the fear and how that's courage, because you can't have courage without fear first. If you go into something confident, that did not take courage. Even if you thought it was scary, but you went in super duper confident, like, that did not take courage. If it's easy for you, it did not take courage. If you're walking into something in the midst of a panic attack, if you are scared of something, if you are terrified of the outcome of what something might be, but you do and you obey in Christ according to His will, God will reward that. He does reward that obedience. And I believe that that's actually what courage is like, to be able to, like, you can't have courage if it's easy. It's not, then it's not courageous. It's just, you, God gave you a lot of strength. So, yeah. Then we have the temptation to disobey or rebel. James 1, verse 14 through 15 talks about how temptation often leads to disobedience, but with God's help, we can resist. He says, resist the devil and you will, and he, resist the devil and he will flee. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So, actually, I'm going to go back to it again. I was so flustered when I woke up late and only had 30 minutes to feed my cats, take my medicine, get ready. I ended up not really getting ready. I just like brushed my teeth and went. But I obviously had to put clothes on. And then, but I wanted to get ready. I wanted to do like glance, like I wanted to feel cute and stuff. And not really, and it, that's not for anybody else. That's for, it really truly is for me, because I just feel more confident when I am put together and like, yeah. But that's not to say that I am not in Christ or I'm not beautiful or X, Y, and Z when I'm not like extremely put together. That's not to say anything like that. Like, I'm not basing how I look on like my confidence or something fully. It's just, yeah, I feel cuter and I like to look cute, but I know whatever. It's not about how, it's not about the external. It's not about like the external part of me that is important. But yeah, so I was just, long story short then, yeah, I was flustered. And I think that if I had time to get ready, I would have, because I would have gotten up like 2 hours beforehand, I think I would have probably gotten into a panic mode, over-rehearsed to where it was just scripted then, when I did the interview, or hyped myself up so much that I wouldn't have been able to go. Like, not hyped myself up, like, psyched myself out about it, like, got too anxious or something. And I... that was actually like the verse of the day, either that day or the next day or the day before. I can't remember, but it resonated with me, this verse from 1 Corinthians, because it's like, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I kind of put things into perspective with how I talked about it, because I just said I was talking about my anxiety, but is anxiety a temptation? Well, I guess the temptation would be to let my anxiety dictate whether or not I would go or walk in obedience. But again, I feel like, you know, I know that God knows me better than I know myself. So there was a reason he woke me up later. And I can kind of see now that it was probably for that reason that I would not, he's like, nope. I mean, it's like, it's his will. When his will is going to be done, it's going to be done, regardless of like all the stuff that goes on in between it. Like, his will be done. So, yeah. Then we have delayed obedience, and the perfect example of that is Jonah, swallowed up in the whale. He did not want to go tell the Ninevites. He did not want to tell the Ninevites of their sins, because he knew that they would repent, and he knew God was merciful, and he was running because he didn't want to. But he also said, you know, the Ninevites are a scary people, so like, it's like they could just turn and kill him, you know. But I'm sure him being in the whale, making it out alive, and then getting thrown, you know, onto a track where he can get back on track and go where God's taking him. I don't know if the whale spewed him out at Nineveh or where, but yeah, I'll need to look more into that. But the book of Jonah is a very, very interesting one. But yeah, his initial obedience to God's command to go to Nineveh leads to quite an outcome. I mean, if you've been swallowed by a whale, I encourage you to reach out to me and tell me what that's like, because I don't know of anyone that that's happened to other than Jonah. So, yeah. So then we have Psalm 119 verse 60. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. So, while delayed obedience is still disobedience, immediate action is what God desires. And that can be really hard and heavy for me, and I'm sure a lot of us, because I'm to a point where, you know, I thought I was trusting God, then things went bad, then I was like, oh, I guess I was just trusting myself. Now how do I trust God? Was I trusting God the whole time? Like, you know, so I'm a little bit more analytical, or like, I'd like to process things for a while or deeply before I make any immediate actions or decisions. I do tend to do that because I've done so before and seen really horrible outcomes, and it makes me wonder what I was following. Yeah, I mean, the important thing though to remember is, I mean, I feel like a really important reminder that we would need right now is that we all fall short. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that, you know, our righteousness lies in Christ, and that we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That's going to take time. So I think if we're aware of something, so like, yeah, maybe like that's kind of, if we're aware of that we're being if we're aware that we're being disobedient, I guess that's kind of where the immediate action would be, or maybe not. Like, because yeah, it's like, what if you don't know that it's disobedience? So I guess that's kind of something to think about. But I guess maybe then if we don't know that it's disobedience, maybe God does not, maybe it's not the right time for God to reveal it to us. Or, you know, maybe it's something of our own rules that we've created for ourselves, and it really has nothing to do with God. So, yeah. But, so some of the key points from this is just that obedience is more than just following rules. It's about a heart that delights in God's will and trusts in his goodness. It requires love and faith, and sometimes overcoming fear and doubt. And true obedience leads to spiritual growth, peace, and God's blessings. So as I've reflected kind of on my own obedience to God, I kind of wonder where some of you guys might think are there any areas in your lives right now where you think God might be calling you to obey more fully? Or what is that obedience? Yeah, so I would really love to hear from you guys. So in summary then, obedience to God isn't about striving for perfection. It's about aligning our hearts with his will through love and trust. And it's an invitation to life-giving freedom, where his commandments are not burdens at all, but expressions of his care for us. He calls us the apple of his eye. And though we often fall short, God's grace meets us in our weakness. Through Christ, we are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to obey, not out of fear, but from a place of hope and gratitude. Because the Bible scripture also says, perfect love casts out fear, yet at the same time, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So these are things that we can maybe try to wrestle with or flesh out in future episodes or something, because I think those are very important too. And there's a profound hope in obedience, because it is tied to God's promises. He restores what's broken, and he blesses our steps of faith, and he offers eternal life to those who trust in him. So he gives eternal life to all who would believe in his name. So even when we stumble, then his forgiveness draws us back, reminding us that his mercies are new every morning. Obedience then becomes less about rule following and more about walking closely. Okay, well, I'm gonna have to record the rest of the audio on here because my Mac just ran out of space. So obedience becomes less about rule following and more about walking closely with God, knowing that it is his love that transforms us. It is a journey of redemption where forgiveness heals us and hope propels us forward into the abundant life Christ promises. So I guess that's all. I have a lot more on here, but I think that would add at least another 45 minutes to this episode. So I guess I'll wrap it up, and I want to thank you all so much for being here, for your love and for your support, and for encouraging me. And I want you guys to know, even if I don't know everyone's names, I love you all, and I am so thankful and appreciative that God has placed me in this moment, in this time, despite my fears. And I pray that this would just reach one person, someone, and bless them. I just pray that, you know, what was spoken today would be heard with ears of compassion, and that it might comfort someone. So, yeah. Anyway, I love you all so very much. I'm so grateful for you. And thanks again for tuning in, listening, engaging with the podcast. I will see you guys next time.